When I was a Boy Scout and later a Scout leader, we would begin our meetings with the Scout Oath and the Scout Law. The words of those are still etched in my mind. The 12 Scout Laws were trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Reverent. How to be reverent is particularly challenging. Does it mean I walk around with my head bowed? Does it mean I'm always serious in church? How exactly is someone reverent? Donald McKim, in his Westminster Dictionary of Theological Terms, tells us that the term comes from two Latin words, go figure, which mean again, and fear or respect. McKim says that being reverent is giving God the worship and respect that is due to God. McKim also says that fear of God is a sense of awe. The same awe as in the common term, awesome. Yes, our God is worthy of awe. Or said another way, our God is awesome. So whether we gather virtually or in person, we need to ask ourselves whether we are giving God due respect and experiencing the sense of awe that comes with being in God's presence. So what does it mean to give God the worship that is due to God? Some atheists have ridiculed the idea of a God who sits on a cloud waiting for people to sing God's praises. What kind of narcissistic God is all about hearing himself praised? What kind of God would get angry if God's subjects did not engage in enough praise? Our scripture from Peter mentions reverential fear and then moves directly into talking about how God redeemed us through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. Reverence does not mean being adequately afraid of God or even adequately praising God. It means being adequately attuned to the love of God that God has shown us through Jesus Christ. After all, one of the most repeated messages in the Bible is, "Fear not." God is not interested in punishing. God is interested in loving. Worship puts us in the frame of mind that appreciates God's presence and love, and in our own flawed way expresses our love in return. Consider the two disciples we heard about in our first reading, who are deeply dejected, going home to Emmaus. Their eyes are so downcast and they are feeling so sorry for themselves. They do not recognize Jesus who's walking with them. They are depressed. Note what they say to Jesus. "We had hoped." This is the past perfect tense, meaning a completed action in the past. The hope they once held was gone. They were hopeless. A state of hopelessness is not reverent. A state of hopelessness is unchristian. A truly Christian attitude is one which knows that God has the final word, thereby inspiring hope. Christian hope is saying with Paul that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to God's purpose. However, we're all prone to despair when things go wrong. It's in such times we need worship. It's in such times that we should return to reverential fear. The word worship comes from an old English word which means worth-ship. Worship is us going to God and saying to God that we need reminding. Worship is an opportunity to remind ourselves who we are and whose we are. Worship is going to Jesus and listening to His words of comfort and assurance in order that our hope should be renewed. William Temple, an English Anglican priest who served as Bishop of Manchester, Archbishop of York, and Archbishop of Canterbury, is quoted as saying, "To worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, to devote the will to the purpose of God." Note that none of the points William Temple makes are about God needing our worship, but how worship changes us. It's instructive to see what Jesus does with these two disciples who've lost their hope. The scripture says Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. I do not believe this means God kept them from recognizing Jesus. Rather, their state of mind kept them from recognizing Jesus. They are focused inward. They are dejected, not looking for Jesus. Perhaps if they'd been hopefully seeking the risen Christ, they would have recognized him. Then Jesus asks them a question which moves them to bear witness to their new traveling companion. They're a bit incredulous that he is not aware of what has happened in Jerusalem. They say, "Where have you been?" It is as if Jesus came up to one of us in the grocery store during the pandemic and asked, "Why is everyone wearing masks?" Our response would be similar. "Where have you been? Surely you know about coronavirus." After they tell Jesus the events of the weekend, Jesus walks them through Scripture, which, of course, the only scripture available to them at the time was the Hebrew scriptures, which we call the Old Testament. And Jesus explains to them the meaning of the events they'd been talking about. They're impressed by his teaching. In fact, they describe it later as their hearts were burning within them as they heard Jesus opening the scriptures to them. However, it's not the teaching, but the breaking of bread together that opens their eyes. The Road to Emmaus story shows us what we miss when we separate ourselves from each other and from the sacrament of the Lord's Supper or communion. When we become self-absorbed and downcast, we run the risk of losing hope. We run the risk of losing our vision, which allows us to recognize the presence of God among us. It's then that we need our fellowship. It's then that we need to gather and read the Word of God together in order that our hearts might burn again within us. It is then that we need to break bread together and remember together that Jesus is the bread of our salvation. This ties in with the popular and misbegotten phrase, I'm spiritual but not religious. Religion means to be bound together again. The Greek word root ligio is the same as for the English word ligation. A ligation is a bond or a tie. The prefix re means again. The Spirit at Pentecost gave us each other in order that we might work together through the Spirit. To be truly spiritual, we need each other. We come together to understand Scripture like no one of us can do alone. We come together to give God worship and praise like no one of us can do alone. We come together to serve the community like no one of us can do alone. Like Paul said, how can any member of the body of Christ say it has no need of the other parts of the body? Would a hand say it's not part of the body because it's not a foot? Where would the body be if it was nothing but an eye? After experiencing the separation brought about by the pandemic, we've rightfully taken new looks at what our worship means to us and have sought new ways to turn our eyes back to God. Likewise, we've looked for new ways to break bread together and remind ourselves to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is our bread. We've added cameras and learned ways to use Zoom and Facebook to stay in touch, even when we cannot be in the same room. Then, after reorienting our hearts and our eyes to new ways to be together, we remind ourselves through worship that we are the body of Christ in the world. Through worship together, we remind ourselves to live in reverent fear of God. Then in reverent fear of God, we live out our love of God and each other. Amen. Having heard the word of God,